class, teaching from the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. The subject today, good fruit or thorns and briars. And you can open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 6 and let these words, and let me explain a few things before we get into the meat of these two scripture verses. Hebrews chapter 6. How many love the Word of God?
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Hebrews chapter 6. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on. The message of the book of Hebrews is let us go on. I really think so. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, not fall down, but if they shall fall away, to renew them again under repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. For the earth, here's the two verses for today, verses 7 and 8. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs, meat fit for, pleasing to, meat for them by, or really, for whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. These sound like very austere, stern, hard scriptures, because the writer is talking to the same people. The same people that he has encouraged so many times already in the first five chapters of the book of Hebrews. And now he says, for the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it and bringeth forth herbs, meat for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars, is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. I'd like to put it this way. The Epistle to the Hebrews is sprinkled with warnings and admonition. But also, the book of Hebrews is replete with encouragements and comfort. So, let me give an example of the warnings and admonitions that are sprinkled throughout the book. And they are few in number in comparison to the comforts and encouragements that we receive in this book. Now, for instance, Hebrews chapter 2, he says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? And then Hebrews chapter 3, verse 8, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. In other words, there are people that can begin to feel comfortable in a church congregation who have an evil heart of unbelief. And so I thank God for these warnings throughout the book of Hebrews, because that unbelief can be contagious, and they can, with their unbelief, destroy new and weaker saints. And then in 4:1, he says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. So the Epistle to the Hebrews is sprinkled with warnings and admonitions. But the Epistle to the Hebrews is replete with encouragements, like in Hebrews 1:14, talking about the angels. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them that shall be heirs of salvation, or who are heirs of salvation? And Hebrews 2:18, for in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Or in Hebrews 3:1, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 5:2, talking about Jesus again in the high priesthood, who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. Hebrews 6:19, which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into the veil. Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he is able also to save them that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. So if you're reading the book of Hebrews, and you read some stern, austere verses here, like, he that beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. Just keep reading. That's what we learned Wednesday night. You read something, just keep reading. Keep reading. Keep reading. And you'll find a lot of encouragements. But heed the warnings. Don't turn a deaf ear to the warning and then keep reading until you find something you like. That's not the way to read the Bible. So, now, aren't you glad for all the encouragements we have in Holy Scripture?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. And how many are glad for the warnings and we get in Holy Scripture? Amen. Well, today is a very stern warning. And we want to talk about these two verses for a while. I think these two verses include both comfort and warning. Here's the comfort. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs, meat for them for whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. That's a very encouraging, comforting scripture. And then the warning. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. Excuse me. Now, I get the idea from these two verses that if we bring forth good fruit, we'll receive God's blessing. You know, the more you bring forth, the more blessing you get. The more you gain, the more he gives for your gain. The less you have, he says, I'm going to take that away. You haven't gained, you've stagnated, you've even gone backwards, so I'm going to take away what you have and give it to somebody who gained more. So you can't stand still in the kingdom of God. You have to be gaining all the time. It was said that the Christian life is like running up a down escalator. You got to keep moving or you're going to go backwards. So you bring forth good fruit and receive God's blessing. And of course, God's blessing caused you to bring forth the good fruit in the first place. And we'll get into that hopefully here. So, if you bring forth good fruit, you receive God's blessing. And I think that's encouraging, for Hebrews 6:10 says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. God won't forget it. But we have to produce. We have to bring forth fruit. It pays to serve Jesus. And just remember, if it gets tough and dark sometimes and hard sometimes, remember, it pays to serve Jesus. He's coming, the Bible says, and his reward is with him, to give unto every man according as his work shall be. So payday's coming. Don't give up. Don't give up. This is not our payday down here. Our payday is coming. It's coming. We may be called upon to suffer down here, but our joy and rejoicing is coming. Amen. Now he says then, if you bring forth thorns and briars, it'll be rejected. God's not collecting thorns and briars. He doesn't have a storehouse for thorns and briars. He's got a furnace for that. He doesn't want that. That'll burn. That'll be destroyed. He wants good fruit and nothing but good fruit. Herbs, meat, fit for him. Something he can approve of. Not what we approve of. So if we bring forth thorns and briars, it'll be rejected. And we face the threat of being cursed. I said these were two tough verses, and I'm just going to go ahead and talk to them. In fact, my wife knows that when I was praying and reading and thinking and meditating on these scriptures, that I just went to crying. I was so under conviction myself that I was shaking in my prayer room. So if we bring forth thorns and briars, they'll be rejected, and we will be nigh unto cursing. We face the threat of being cursed. And if we continue this style to the end, we'll be burned. If we continue fruitlessness, barrenness, and worse than barrenness, bringing forth thorns and briars, that's the end. He's telling the Christians that right here. The end is to be burned, destroyed. He has no use for us in his kingdom. What a warning. What a warning. And I thank God. How many are still thankful for the warnings of Scripture? Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. No, when I read these verses, it seems to me that Paul is talking about two soil conditions. Two soil conditions. And you know that Jesus compares our hearts to land, soil. One of these soils brings forth herbs, meat, for them for whom it is dressed. And the other soil bears thorns and briars. But get this now. While one soil brings forth good fruit and the other soil brings forth thorns and briars, both fields receive rain from above. Look at it again. I hope you have your Bibles open. Hebrews 6, verse 7. For the earth which drinketh in the rain, the whole earth is drinking in God's rain. But there are different kinds of soil. Some soil produces good fruit, and some soil producing thorns and briars. That we have to study so we understand it well. Now, both fields are receiving God's blessing. Both fields are receiving rain from above. Matthew 5:45 says, For God, He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. The wrong interpretation of that verse is when Christians suffer and people quote this verse and say, Well, you know, the Lord sends His rain on the just too. That has nothing to do with this verse. Absolutely nothing to do with it. It's foreign to this verse. This verse is teaching us that rain is not bad. Rain is not a trial. Rain is not a tribulation. Rain is not trouble that a Christian goes through. Rain is a blessing from God on the earth, on the land. And it's supposed to bring forth as a result of that blessing from God. So don't ever quote this verse when you say that, Well, you know, Christians have to suffer too. They suffer under God's reign. No, that's not it. Jesus is talking about His Father, and He says, He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and the good, and He sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. He's talking about His wonderful blessings. So both fields here, both soils, had the same opportunity. Both soils had the same opportunity. Isn't God good? Amen. God is so good. My uncle was a good farmer. And he was blessed beyond all the farmers in the whole area. Because he wouldn't bring in the hay on Sunday, even if the weather report was rain on Monday. He said, Oh no, we don't work on Sunday. And God turned around and changed the weather for him. And he was, I think, his reputation was he was the most blessed farmer in the whole area. He had to help other farmers out of their problems. And that's why God blesses us, so we can help others and teach them the ways of God. And so my uncle wouldn't do that. And I remember speaking at his funeral testifying at his funeral and telling the people assembled there that about this, his reputation and how God bless that man for doing that. Now, God says, I blessed your uncle, but I also sent the rain on the unbelieving neighbors' farms. Those neighbors that didn't fear God, that just went ahead and did their thing on Sunday. I blessed them. I rained on their land too. Isn't God good? He is so good. He blesses everybody. He blesses the whole world, but there's a line. Maybe you want to turn there to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 5. I think it's worth turning to. Isaiah chapter 5. Oh, to love the Word of God and get acquainted with it. It's God speaking to His people. Isaiah chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Now, in this passage, God says He did all He could do for His vineyard so that it would bring forth grapes. You know what God did? He built a fence around it. And that was to keep the enemy out. That was to keep the spoilers out. And then the Bible says in this passage that he gathered out the stones, took out all the stones so the crop could be better, so the earth could bring forth, and the stones wouldn't impede it. And then he built a tower, and that was for the keepers to stay in so they could more diligently take care of that land. And now God says in verse 4, what could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Let's read it. Chapter 5, verse 1. Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it, and gathered out the stones thereof, and planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a wine press therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. And I will lay it waste, it shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold, oppression, for righteousness, but behold, a cry. I read that and I just trembled before the Lord. I thought, he gave this fruitful hill every opportunity to bring forth juicy, good, sweet grapes. And it brought forth wild grapes. And God says, I gave you time. I've had it. I've had it. Down goes the wall. Down goes the tower. Down goes all of my goodness and my blessing. I'm going to withdraw it. Go ahead and bring forth thorns and briars. Because they abuse, they misuse God's blessing on their soil. And that's what the writer of Hebrews is warning about today. He said, I have blessed you. I have rained my blessings upon you oft, over and over, again and again. And you have abused my blessings. You have misused my blessings. You don't respect me like you should. And he said, if this goes on, you're nigh unto cursing. And if you continue this way to the end, you will be burned. He's talking to the church. What more can God do today? He said here in Isaiah, what more could I do to make it produce? I did everything. And it failed. It didn't produce. Now, I ask today, what more can God do today to save sinners? Think about it. He died on Calvary's cross. I mean, the story is told in the Holy Bible. I don't know of an American that doesn't have access to a Bible. Access to a Bible. I didn't say he possesses one. But you can turn on the radio and they're preaching. You can turn on the television. I don't have one. But they've got it all the time. And you're exposed to the gospel. You can find gospel tracts laying in gutters. You can see them in public places. You've got Christians that are witnessing to you all the time. I remember what one preacher said. He said, our church put a gospel tract under the windshield wiper of every car in the county of. And he named the county in this certain state. And he said, I can just see those people come out and take that tract out of that windshield wiper and throw it in a mud puddle or crumble it up and throw it in their litter bag. He said, oh friend, you had eternal life in your hand. You had a chance to be saved in your hand and you threw it away. What more can God do even today for sinners to be saved? He's done all he can do. He has done all he can do. And still men continue to ignore him. Turn him down. Turn him away. Then my next question would be, and what more can God do today to get you and me to bear more fruit? What can he do to get me to bear more fruit? I tell you, I thought about these things and it just moved me. What can God do to get us to bear more fruit? He moves among us in our church services. He woos us. He pleads with us. He blesses and blesses us. And still, sometimes we ignore him. We fail to recognize His presence in our wonderful church services. We can yawn in the face of God. We can get up and go and get a drink when God is moving in our midst. We can go to the restroom when God is moving in our midst and there's no urgency. We just get restless sometimes. I say, oh God, help us not to neglect our salvation. And so things like that happen, and the writer of Hebrews knows that, and so he warns us and he says, you are nigh unto cursing. And the warning is, not only are you not barren, but you are bearing thorns and briars. That is, the works of wickedness. Doesn't that sound like Jesus talking to Jezebel in the book of Revelation? Jesus talking to Jezebel in the book of Revelation. He says, I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Therefore, I'll cast her into a bed and so on. I gave her time. I gave her space. I pleaded with her. She ignored me. She just kept on in her old ways. And so, she's bearing thorns and briars, nigh unto cursing. And she continued that way. And so, that would be the end of it. She repented not. God will not accept thorns and briars. He won't accept it in my life, and He won't accept it in your life. He will not accept it. He does not want thorns and briars. God wants good fruit, and that's all He wants. And I said, it sounds like Jesus talking about Jezebel. Doesn't it sound like Jesus in John 15, 1 and 2 also? I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. Now, some people say, well, he's and the eternal securitists always say this, that watch my adjective sometimes, but that doctrine of eternal security that says once saved, always saved, that doctrine that says there's no such thing as putting Christ to an open shame and crucifying afresh the Son of God, and we just read it. That doctrine that says you can be saved and go out in the world and fornicate and adulterate and get drunk and live like the devil and die in that condition and go to heaven because you were once saved, I say that's a lie. Amen. I say it's a lie. Amen. It's got to be a lie because Paul said, don't let anybody fool you. Don't let anybody deceive you. No drunkard, no adulterer will be in heaven. Read Revelation 21:8, where John said the same thing. So, Jesus said, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. And He said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for the love of God in our hearts. I'm so thankful for the patience of the Lord with us. When we bear just a little bit of fruit, He comes along and He purges it and He takes care of it and He works on it and then it starts bringing forth more fruit. But when it doesn't bring forth any fruit, cut it down, He says. Why cumbereth it the ground? Then John 15:6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. I think it would be very good to turn to Luke chapter 8 and study this parable with me. Luke chapter 8, the parable of the sower. Luke chapter 8, beginning at verse 4. And when much people were gathered together and were come to Him out of every city, He spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground, and sprang up, and bare fruit in 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And he said unto them, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while, believing in time of temptation, fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he seemeth or thinketh to have. So, when you read this parable and look at it closely, just notice something. In verse 12 it says, those by the wayside are they that hear. They, verse 13, they on the rock are they which, when they hear. Verse 14, and that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard. And verse 15, but that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word. All four of these soils heard the word. They all had equal opportunity. They all heard the word. That's the point Jesus is making. They all heard. Everybody under the sound of my voice in this building this morning is hearing the word of God. We all have the same opportunity to do what we will with this at all Sunday school lesson. We can take it to heart, or we can invite the fowls of the air to come and take the seed away. And on and on. So all four soil types heard the good word of God. Which type of soil are we? I wonder what category I fit in there. It scares me. It scares me to think I might have a rocky vineyard. It scares me to think that I might have thistles and thorns and obnoxious weeds growing in my garden. I need to get up every morning and get out there in the garden and dive down at those unwanted growths and pull them up by the roots and cultivate and fertilize that garden until it brings forth good fruit. God's very serious about the things that he says. And which type of soil we are individually is not determined by how we were born or whatever they say. We're learning right here that the type of soil we are individually is determined by how we hear the word of God. Verse 18 of Luke 8. Take heed therefore how ye hear. Why would Jesus say to somebody who couldn't help how he heard, take heed how ye hear? That wouldn't be just, it wouldn't be fair, it wouldn't be righteous. So he says to everybody listening, take heed how ye hear, because you're going to be one of these four types of soil. You'll be wayside soil, you'll be rocky soil, you'll be thorn and briar soil, or you'll be good soil. So the type of soil you are is not determined at your birth. When you hear the word of God, what do we do with it? What do we do with the word of God? Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. This is going to make me a more serious Bible student. It's going to give me a whole lot more interest in the Holy Scriptures. This is going to cause me to read more than I have been and meditate more than I have been. I want to do my best, don't you? Amen. Don't you want to be good ground? Don't you want to bring forth good fruit? I think this lesson is telling us how. And the secret is found in verse 15 of Luke chapter 8. But that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. Having an honest and a good heart. Do I pray for an honest heart? Do I pray for a good heart? Do I examine myself to see whether I'm in the faith? Do I get down on my face before God and say, cleanse me, O God? Wash me thoroughly. See if there be any evil way in me. You see, any evil way in my heart is going to bring forth thorns and briars. It won't bring forth good fruit. A corrupt tree can't bring forth good fruit. That corruption in my heart can't bring it forth. So I've got to come down to this altar. I've got to kneel in my chair. I've got to find my closet at home. I've got to fall before the Lord and say, cleanse me, Lord. I want an honest heart. I want a good heart. I want good fruit. And this is the secret. Then he says, that in the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it. Keep it. You protect it. I think that word keep here means guarding it by keeping your eye upon it. Don't let it drift away and don't drift away from it. Protect it. Keep it in your heart. And then bring forth fruit with patience. And that word patience, number 5281, means cheerful or hopeful endurance. I'll tell you, that's one thing we've got. We're here today and we're here tonight and we're here Wednesday and we're here happy. We're not unhappy Christians. We're glad when they said unto us, let's go to church. And if we're any other way, we're heading for trouble. But patience here is cheerful, hopeful endurance, constancy, enduring, patience, patient continuance. The idea is to persevere, even under hard trials and suffering. I will continue to bring forth fruit. No matter the storms of life, I'm going to bring forth good fruit. And I'm going to persevere even into old age. Never stop. That's what this verse is talking about when he says you bring forth fruit with patience, with perseverance, never stopping, constancy. You keep bearing fruit. As long as you're a Christian, you bear fruit. You're going to die a Christian, then you're going to bear fruit as long as you live, even into old age. Never stop bearing fruit if you're 70, 80, 90, 100 years old. Psalm 92, 13, 14 and 15. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord. Oh, isn't it good to be planted in the house of the Lord? I belong to church. I go to church. I am a member of the church of Jesus Christ. You won't see me out on a ball field. You won't see me at home watching a television set on Sunday morning when church is going. You won't see me doing those things on Sunday night. I am a member of the church of the living God. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They're going to bring forth fruit because they love the soil. They love the church. Praise the Lord. They shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in him. Yes, the Lord is upright. And he'll continue to bless us into old age, Psalm 92 tells us. And those blessings that we bring forth, even into old age, prove that to the world that the Lord is upright and he's our rock and there is no unrighteousness in him. He'll continue to bless us into old age. He's asking us to bring forth fruit into old age, which means that certainly he's going to bless us into old age. He's not going to withdraw his rain from us, but it'll continue often falling on us. The Bible says OFT, oft. So he's not going to withdraw his rain from falling upon us, even when we're old. So I just want to keep bearing fruit, even when I'm old. Fruit that's pleasing to him. Don't you hope that when you get old and you die, like Jacob, we just read it in Genesis this morning, didn't we? We that are reading through the Bible. Jacob got sick. Blind, called his son in, and his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And you know the story, we just read it. And I thought, yeah, God blessed Jacob into old age. And what was he, 147 years old, when Jacob passed that blessing on to posterity. Praise the Lord. I want to be that way when I die. I'd like to die with a Bible in my face, a Bible in my hand, a prayer on my lips, worship in my soul, with words of encouragement to the next generation coming up. Oh, I just saw heaven open. Hang on, son. Hang on, daughter. Hang on, saints of God. Hang on, grandchildren. Jesus is real. He's there. He's at the right hand of God. Praise the Lord. He's beckoning us home. Oh, by the way, I see dad, mom, and brother over there. I see my old friends over there. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. I want to leave a blessing and a word of encouragement before I leave this world. Amen. So let's just keep on bearing fruit. Do you feel like I do? I don't want one thorn. I don't want one thistle. I don't want one briar in my field. How many feel like that? Yes. Praise the Lord. Then let's have the Lord cleanse us, sanctify us, and examine us until all of the junk that's in our hearts is washed away, and we have soil that will bring forth good fruit for the Master. And so the warning is, if we produce thorns and briars, if we fail to bring forth good fruit, we are nigh unto cursing. Let's read it again to make sure we got this right. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. For the earth which drinketh in the rain, that's the whole earth, that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs, meat for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. So if we bring forth thorns and briars, if we waste our time on worldly things, if we fail to bring forth good fruit, then we're nigh unto. Now that word nigh unto doesn't mean we've already been cut off. No. Isn't God gracious, patient to give us more time? But don't say tomorrow when God says today, because today is the day of salvation. Say, if God will and we live, tomorrow we'll do something. So when God says here, that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is in great danger of being cursed. That's what it really means. In great danger of being cursed. And then, if we persist, if we insist and persist in that lifestyle, the final end is to be burned. I think we all know what that means. So, the encouragement is, God is still raining down blessings on us from heaven. Right now, He's raining on us. Blessings from heaven. And He wants us to use those blessings to bring forth herbs, meat, for the husbandman of the vineyard. Why is God blessing us? So we can bring forth good fruit, or bring forth fruit unto perfection, or bring forth herbs that are fit for the Master. So here, what are some of these blessings? He's raining down blessings on us. What are some of these blessings? What about the blessing of health? So many of us are strong and robust, and we've got energy and ambition, and we can see, and we can hear, and we can walk, and we can talk, we can communicate, we can reason, we can learn, and we're healthy mentally and physically and emotionally. God has rained His blessings upon us. But what am I doing with those blessings? Am I growing in grace and knowledge of Him? Am I appropriating these blessings so that I can bring forth more fruit, good fruit, unto perfection? Or am I using these blessings for selfish purposes? I say, I'm not going to say if I live. I'm not going to say if God wills. I know what I'm going to do tomorrow. And God, bless me tomorrow. I'm going to Minneapolis tomorrow, and I'm buying stock and in a company, and I'm getting a job, and I'm doing this and that, Lord, and I want You to go with me. You're my little servant, God. It's not that way. God's not our servant. We're His servants. That's why He taught us to pray that way. And He said, give us, when we pray, say, give us this day our daily bread. You know what He's teaching us in that little phrase, give us this day our daily bread? He's teaching us that that's where our bread comes from Him. And if He doesn't give it, we don't have it. Give us this day our daily bread. That's not begging. That's acknowledging God's providence. Oh God, give us this day our daily bread. We don't have it without Him. Just like the Lord giveth wisdom. We don't have it without Him. He has to give it, but we don't have it. And God is raining all these wonderful blessings on us from heaven. He's given us good eyes. What do we do with our eyes? Are we wasting our time watching a bunch of videos that won't add one little addition to our reward, our eternal reward? Are we sitting around watching videos that won't do one thing for our eternity? Nothing? How can we waste time watching videos? How can we do that? How can anybody sit around for an hour after going to some video store and get a video and sit there and watch it when a God who has given you the legs to go there, given you the eyes to see and the hands to carry and the money to buy, God has blessed us with all those blessings, but not to get videos to watch and waste our time. You're going to bear thorns and briars, friend. We need to get in the Word. We need to go from place to place and tell people about the love of Jesus Christ. Souls are in jeopardy. The world is dying for lack of someone to tell them what they don't know and what we do know. Oh, let's not squander this precious treasure of health and eyes and extra money. You'd be surprised how many of us have more money than we really need. Your income, this doesn't sound right, but listen to it. Your income is not how much money you earn. It's how much money you don't spend. The rest of it is not income, it's outgo. When it comes in, it stays there. So you can bless somebody else, some poor soul. The poor you will always have with you in spite of welfare. The Bible says the poor you will always have with you, and you can do good to them anytime you want. And God's watching too. So God's raining all these blessings on us. What are we doing with these blessings? What are we doing with our good eyesight? What are we doing with our hearing? What are we doing with our ability to walk and talk and reason? What are we doing with it? That's what he's talking about here. The earth which drinketh in the rain, we're all drinking it in. We're all receiving and soaking up his blessings every day. Every day we sit at a bowl of Wheaties, and every noon a pork chop, and every evening a beef roast or a pizza or something. We're eating. We're drinking in his blessings. We have water. We don't even have to boil it. We can just turn on the faucet and drink it and throw the rest away if we want to, or let it go down the drain. What are we doing with all these blessings that God has given us? Well, we need to be using them to bring forth good fruit with patience and not quit and not give up. Well, can't we enjoy anything in life? Could I introduce to you Jesus Christ, the source of all joy? The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. We have the Holy Ghost. He has rained the blessing of the Holy Ghost upon us. We can leap for joy. We can shout. We can clap our hands. Amen. Drinking in the blessing of God and then going out and buying a video? Something without God in it? Something without a message for our spiritual growth in it? Oh, I'm all for videos that will promote fruit, good fruit, spiritual growth. But I'm against that junk. You know, I've heard people say, man, I had a hard day and I opened your Bible. I've said it before. You come home from a hard day. You come home from an emotionally stressful day and come home and turn on that TV. I'll tell you, it's only going to add to your emotional problems. But you come home and open that Bible and lay it on your lap and sit in your lazy boy rocker or your broken down kitchen table chair. I don't care which. You just open your Bible and start reading the Word of God, and you're going to feel a change come over you. You're going to feel the wonderful rain of God come down from heaven and soak it up, praise God, and get up a new person, powerful in the Holy Ghost. God says, what more could I do? I've rained on you my blessings. I've given you every opportunity. What are you doing with what I've given you? And we persist in it and persist in it, and God gives us space to repent. And then finally he says, that's it. Tear down the wall. Break down the tower. Let the spoilers in. Let that land bring forth thorns and briars. I'm finished with it. I've had it. But we're not done with the lesson yet. We've been rained upon so much. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon us. How valuable have been our privileges under the gospel. How wonderful. Many of us have had a Bible to read ever since we were children. Many of us have had the Bible read to us before we could read it. How marvelous the privileges that we've had. What have we done with those privileges? Don't read that Bible to me, Dad. Don't read that Bible to me, Mom. I'm going my way. I'm going to do my thing. Yeah, there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, the Bible says, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The end thereof is cursing. The end thereof is to be burned. The end thereof is the ways of death. Oh, young people, don't go that way. Don't go that way. Your dad and mom want to read the Bible to you. You listen to them read. They ask you to read. Read. Read the Bible. It's your salvation. It's the Word of God by which we're born again. And so we have been blessed. We've had this Bible, we've had this teaching, we've had the Word of God ever since we were born, for so many of us. And then some of us haven't had. We come in from the world and get saved. And then you start recognizing the blessing. And then you start using that blessing to bring forth good fruit, instead of using that blessing like you did before you were saved, in a selfish, self-centered way. Not only have we had Bibles to read, but we've had a church to go to. We've had preachers. We've had evangelists. We've had missionaries. We've had encouragement from the Word of God. We've had warnings from the Word of God. This pulpit here has had preacher after preacher behind it preaching to us and encouraging us and warning us time after time. Oh, we've been rained upon so often. We've been enlightened, Hebrews 6 says. We have tasted of the heavenly gift. We have been made partakers of the Holy Ghost. We have tasted the good Word of God. We have tasted the powers of the world to come. That's what he's talking about. We've been rained upon. Often we've been blessed over and over again. And we've felt the very presence of God in this church, in these church services, time and time again. And the Spirit of God has striven with us over and over, pleadingly. We've been rained upon often. We've drunk in the rain. And I ask myself, what fruits have I produced? And then I asked myself last night, probably a real tough question. Are the fruits I am producing commensurate with the blessings I am receiving? That's when I started to weep. I thought, God, the way you've blessed me, I should have produced tons of fruit more than I have. Well, I'll tell you God's response. I'm willing to forgive your past if you're willing to start bearing more, better fruit. That's God's spirit. That's God's attitude. That's God's nature. That's God's wonderful way. I'm willing to forget your past. I'm willing to forgive it. But can we start now? Or can we improve now? So that's a good question to ask yourself. Are the fruits I am producing commensurate? Commensurate means equal to. Are the fruits I am producing equal to the blessings I am receiving? Well, in a sense, that would be impossible. And yet in another sense, no. Because it's God's blessing that makes it God's fruit. So are the fruits I am producing commensurate with the blessings I am receiving? You know, there's a song. It used to be in the old White song book, and I found it here in this red one. I wonder, have I given my best to Jesus, who died upon the cruel tree? To think of his great sacrifice at Calvary, I know the Lord, my Lord, expects the best from me. The hours that I have wasted are so many. The hours I have spent for Christ, so few. Because of all my lack of love for Jesus, I wonder if his heart is breaking too. I wonder, have I cared enough for others? Or have I let them die alone? I might have helped the wanderer to the Savior, the seed of precious life I might have sown. How many are the lost that I have lifted? How many are the chained I've helped to free? I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus when he has done so much for me? We used to sing that song here. The last verse. No longer will I stay within the valley. I'll climb to mountain heights above. The world is dying now for want of someone to tell them of the matchless Savior's love. I'm blessed. And we sing that chorus, I am blessed. And when we sing that chorus, I am blessed, somehow we just burst with thanksgiving. And that's wonderful. But now, after seeking God over this lesson that I'm presenting today, I feel that I must show God my gratefulness by allowing his blessings to produce more fruit in my life. And so when I sing that chorus next time, I'm going to burst with thanksgiving, but I'm also going to make a fresh consecration. These two verses, 7 and 8, for the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God, but that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned, are surely telling us something. They're telling us that if I continue to enjoy the means of spiritual fruitfulness and yet continue to be unfruitful, I am nigh unto cursing. If I keep coming to church, if Jesus Christ walks the aisles of this sanctuary, and I go out of here and don't bring forth fruit, I am nigh unto cursing. That's the clear message of Hebrews chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. I am nigh unto cursing. Not yet cursed, getting closer every day. Not entirely given up of God, just getting closer all the time. A parable in closing. I'll read it to you in Luke 13. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. It was his vineyard. He had done everything he could. He had let it out to husbandmen and gave them their instructions. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years, we're not going to interpret that parable this morning, I just want to bring out a point. These 3 years, I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And the dresser of the vineyard said, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. For 3 years he hadn't been digging and he hadn't been fertilizing, it sounds like to me. So he said, Lord, let it alone this year. Give me another chance, is what he's saying. Till I dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that, thou shalt cut it down. Perhaps some of us feel that way today. We feel, Lord, I'm under conviction. Your word has brought me under conviction. And I just pray, Lord, give me another chance. I want to do better, but I need your help. You know how we get his help? The secret was in Luke 8. Have the Lord examine our hearts so we have an honest and a good heart, and it'll bring forth good fruit. See, Lord, if there be. We need to come. Let the let the spotlight of God shine on every dark crook and cranny of our hearts and get everything out. Everything that's worldly, everything that's pleasure-seeking, everything that's self-seeking, get it all out. Then we can serve God better and bring forth good fruit, fruit under perfection. So some of us probably feel that way today. I want to do better. Lord, help me. But when you're praying, how about saying, Lord, thanks for not cutting it down yet. Thanks for giving me another chance to improve. And then, thank you, Lord, for the warning. Something that we're not so quick to do. Thank you for the scolding, Lord. Thank you for the warning, Lord. Thank you for the bridge out sign along the highway. Thank you for the road closed sign. Thank you for the warning, Lord. Thank you. I think that's included in a thankful heart. So what do I want? Why does God give me money or extra money? So I can buy more things to enjoy and have pleasure with? So I can seek out some hungry, starving, or poor person somewhere, which Jesus said we'd always have with us. God bless you, brother. You made somebody happy this Christmas. God didn't give us extra money just to buy more things that'll drive us further and further away from Him and His Word. God didn't give us more extra money so we can go buy a boat and go sailing on Sunday morning because the sun is shining. Amen. That's not it. That's not His plan. What do I want? More ease? More pleasure? More leisure? No. Or do I want to bear more fruit? Good fruit. Well, that's what I want. That's what you want. So we can begin by reading our Bible through in 1992. And we can continue. You know, you can pray yourself into things. People that don't pray don't do things that bring forth good fruit. You can pray yourself into doing good things. I'll tell you why. Because it's not your nature to do good things. Not good things. Just things that the world thinks are good. We talked about that, what, last Sunday or recently anyway? No, at church. Church service. What the world calls good and what God calls good can be two different things. He says, woe unto you that call evil good and good evil. Woe unto you. He says, how can you, being evil, do good things to your children? That's good things in their eyes, not in God's eyes. He says, because a corrupt tree can't bring forth good fruit. So if I want to bear more fruit, I got to have a good and an honest heart. And I'm going to read my Bible through in 1992. And then I can pray myself into doing these things, these good things, these things that will come for eternity. You can pray yourself into witnessing more. Let me tell you how to do it. Just come to this altar this morning after church. Kneel down and say, Lord, lay some soul upon my heart. You do that sincerely and you have some sort of a vision. The Lord will lay some soul in your heart. Because this is the nearest thing to His heart. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, it was, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When Jesus was hanging on that cross, He was saying, world, I love you. I love you. Look and live. All the ends of the earth, look and live. That's the heartbeat of God. That's what He wants us to be occupied in. Amen. So you can come to this altar and ask God. Don't say, oh God, give me a burden for souls. No, say, Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and just watch. And then go witness to that person. Usually the Lord will lay somebody in your heart that He's already dealing with. Because He wants to send somebody to that person that's hungry for Him. You want to worship more sincerely in church? Come down to this altar this morning and just say, Lord, I want to bring forth good fruit of worship. I don't want to go, hallelujah. I want to be a sincere worshiper. And Lord, I don't want to waste time. And then take inventory of your life. God bless you. Let's stand.